I am thankful that when there is trouble all around us, and it seems like everything's crashing in, we can still know God is in control. He has it all in His hand. He can take care of it, and I'm thankful for that. Tonight, if I were to put a title to what I want to share with you, it would be, why does God give us choices? You know, God sees everything. This morning we heard Sister Maxine talk to us about the choices that we get to make. You know, God Almighty can see out in the future. He knows things, and yet He still allows us to make choices. Why is that? Why does He give us the freedom to choose? You know, I think the freedom to choose is how we're able to tell God how much we value Him. What would it be if there were no choices? You're a robot. You will do exactly what God said. You don't have a choice in it. But when we have a choice and we choose Him, I believe it shows Him how valuable He is to us. I was thinking about the children of Israel. God would give a command, and then He allows us to make a choice about that command, whether we do it or whether we don't. To the children of Israel, He gave them a command. It's in Deuteronomy 6, the 6th chapter, and in the 4th, starting in the 4th verse. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the law that He gave. I want you to love Me with all of your heart. And then I'd like to go over and see what He does with that. In the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy, and the 1st verse, it says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. And then this next verse, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. The things that are sent into our life are an opportunity for Him to prove us, to know what's in our heart, whether we want to make a choice to serve Him or no. You remember in Exodus, the 20th chapter, God gave some more commands. He gave the 10 commandments to the children of Israel. And I was thinking in that chapter just before that, if you look in the 19th chapter of Exodus, God came down on Mount Sinai, and He came so close to the people that they had told Moses, said, Moses, if you will go and hear the law, we will obey it. But we don't want to be this close to God. They had a real fear and a reverence for Him. But I'd like to go to a place in Exodus, the 20th chapter. When we look at the 20th chapter, there were some laws that God gave. And then it's up to the people. Will they obey those laws? One of those 10 commandments in 20 and the second verse. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before Me. So you would think, okay, that's pretty easy for me to understand. What was that said a while ago? The Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And this one says, thou shalt have no other gods before Me. And then you remember the stories following in Exodus. Moses was called up on the Mount Sinai, and God has given him the laws that is going to be a choice for the people to make when Moses brings it back down again. When He gives them the law, they weren't forced to do it. They could do it or not do it. There were consequences that come, and I find that today we're not forced to obey God. But what we do have is consequences that come from our choices. When we choose to do something, there will be consequences that come from that. And there was a choice made after Exodus 20 when it says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." You remember while Moses was still up in the mountain, in the 32nd chapter and in the first verse, when the people saw, they're fixing to have a choice to make. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, you remember he's up there for 40 days. Come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, "Up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Okay, the people are making a choice. It's been some days passed by now, and we don't know where Moses is, so I'll tell you what, here's what we would like to have. We want some gods made that can lead us through this place. Now a choice comes for Aaron. You know, on back there, if you read about it, Aaron happened to be in the presence of God also with Moses for a while. So you would think that would follow him for a long time and he would have a reverence for God. What does Aaron do with the choice that was given him? Second verse, Aaron said unto them, "Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." The people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. What's he going to do with this? He has a choice to make. You know what Aaron could have done is, "I'll give my life right here."
Yes.
Before I make the wrong choice about this. Why does God give us the freedom to choose? To show how much we value him. Yes. And the laws that he has. Here is an opportunity for Aaron to show how much he valued God and his laws. And what does he do with it? Fourth verse of the 32nd chapter. He received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord." So God visits Moses. You know, Moses is up on the mount. And following on down through this 32nd chapter, God tells Moses, "I want you to get down. I want you to go down there." Seventh verse, the Lord said to Moses, "Go get thee down, for thy people which thou hast brought out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way." What was it? 40 days, and they forgot the Lord. "Out of the way which I commanded them, they have made them a molten calf, have worshipped it, sacrificed thereunto, and said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" You know, how could Aaron, being a leader?
Yes.
Aaron could not force the other people not to do it. But you know what we have to do is we have to be real careful that we not be a partaker in other men's sins.
Yes.
That we have a conviction, here's where I stand, and I don't move that from that. You know, it would have been a whole lot better for Moses to come down off the mountain and find that Aaron has been killed for standing for truth than to see what he had done. Because we come on down and we see in the 21st verse, now Aaron's going to give an account to Moses. "Moses said unto Aaron, 'What did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them?'" You know, sometimes we talk about and we see examples of people that take responsibility for their actions. And then we see sometimes examples where people do not take responsibility for their actions. Here is one of those where Aaron did not take responsibility for his action. He shifted it off to somebody else. The choice that he had made, now he's going to turn it back to somebody else. Aaron said, 22nd verse, "Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they're set on mischief. For they said unto me, 'Make us gods which shall go before us.' For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of them." So look at this next verse. You ever heard of a whopper, a big story. He's fixing to make up a big story. 24th verse, this is Aaron, the one that's responsible for taking care of the people while Moses is gone. And it says, I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. They gave it me, then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. Now what a story. Was he expecting Moses to believe that? Wow, you threw it in there, and this calf just came walking out. It was just like that. You know, sometime with the choices that we make in our life, when the Lord comes along to say, what was it that you did? If we're not careful, we will say, it's this one made me do it, or this one has influenced me. But if we would realize with the choices, when the Lord comes along to us, there's one thing I like about David. When Nathan the prophet came to him and revealed to him his sin, you know, Nathan could have been put to death. David could have said, I've hidden it well up till now and I'm planning to continue. But instead, as David looked at his choices and realized now, under the light of God, what he had done, we get to read his repentance for the choices that he made. May we each one, God has given us an opportunity to be able to choose. May we go to the Lord, because sometimes, you know what, we don't know where a choice will end. We don't know if I make this choice right here, it seemed like this is the right thing to do. But I don't know what tomorrow holds from that direction of that choice. It would be good for us to be able to go to the Lord and say, I'm not able to tell for sure which way to go. Lord, would you please direct me? You know what, if Aaron would have gone, we don't read any place where Aaron cried out to the Lord, please, would you help me? I just visited with you just a little while ago. I know about the Ten Commandments already. Don't serve any other gods. And here's what the people are doing that could cost me my life. Don't hear about any prayers. It's about a decision that he made. And I was thinking of another decision that was made. Choices that were given. And God allowed it to be so. It's the very first of the Bible. The first people, Adam and Eve. The first ones here living in the Garden of Eden had everything that heart could desire. But the Lord gives one commandment. Of the trees of this garden you may freely eat. But of this one tree, the knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it, lest you die. Why did he give a commandment? Because he's about to find out how much they value his relationship. You know what? It's the same way for us today. We have choices that we can make. If we would go from here and see those choices, you know, the world is bidding high for us to make some choices and still call ourselves a Christian. May I have a respect for God and realizing why he allows me to make those choices. You know, with Adam and Eve, he had just created it. I don't know how many years it had been, how long it had been from the time they were created until they sinned. But it was just the beginning of time. You know what? God could have at that time said, I'm not going anymore with this. Everybody from here on is going to serve me. They won't have a choice. He didn't do that. He allowed choice to continue on. And what it tells me is how much he values our ability to choose him. That he's willing for millions to turn him down, and it's still worth it for him to be able to find some people that would say, Lord, I choose you and your way. And so with Eve, she knew the law, just like Aaron knew the law. But I was looking at Genesis in the third chapter. You know, when the serpent came to her, and he said, hath the Lord said that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In the second verse, you know, the woman understood the law. It was, the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And now here's a choice that we have out ahead of us of whether we take of it or whether we have a reverence for God's law and stay away from it. And then here comes Satan. You know what? He's not changed his tactics today. He will come back to us today as we desire to serve the Lord and please him to the best of our ability. And here's what he said to her. The serpent said, "You shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." Now what if the next verse would have been, Eve would have said, "I'll tell you what, God has been visiting us every evening, coming in the cool of the day to visit with us. I'll take what you said and I'll talk to the Lord about it tonight." What would her choices have been then? I don't think it would have been the same thing. But look at what happened. The woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. You know, we read that verse, Proverbs 3 and 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Don't lean to your own understanding." Her understanding was tainted by what Satan had told her. You won't surely die. And you know, she didn't fall over dead when she ate it. It wasn't poison to her body, but it was poison to her spirit. And I look at the cost. There's something we're not able to see from choices we make. I don't think there was any way that Eve was able to see where all this choice was going to make for her. She just saw this piece of fruit, and it was pleasant to the eyes. Now, how would you look at a piece of fruit and say it's desired to make one wise? You know what? She's been thinking about some of Satan's counsel and desiring something that God did not have planned for her. And she ate. Then she gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat. You know, a lot of time I've heard when people are talking about this story, they put the blame on Eve. And you know, however it happened that she ate it before he did. But you know, what was he thinking? Where was his level of respect for God? When all she had to do, he doesn't even say he saw it was good for food and pleasant to the eyes. She just offered it and he went ahead and ate it. And the price tag that came from it. Yes. You know, I was thinking of what was the price? You know, the Garden of Eden was not destroyed when they were put out of it. You remember reading that? It says that there was a flaming sword at the entrance to the garden. What was the reason for it? Because God had intended them to be able to live forever there. Because what was the other tree? They've got the one that, you know, Satan never talked to her about the tree of life that was in there. Instead, what he's telling her about is the one tree that you're to stay away from. In the latter part of Genesis 3, when they're put out of the garden because of the choice they made, it says there's a flaming sword to keep them from being able to come back in and partake of the tree of life and live forever. You know, part of the punishment of a bad choice is being able to see what it could have been. And I think about them when it says now there's briars, there's thorns, there's sweat, there's hard work. And all the time, for however long, looking over at what the Garden of Eden could have allowed for them. That wasn't the only price tag. You know, if someone could have told her, "Eve, I tell you what, this fruit has within it something you do not want to have out in your future. You're going to have two boys. And because of this, one of those boys is going to kill the other son." Yes. Trouble after trouble that comes from it, from a bad choice that was made. And yet God did not say at the end of Adam and Eve's story, "This is it. Everyone is going to be forced to make right choices in the future. You cannot make a choice different than that." It tells me how much God values the choices that we make. But I was thinking of someone else that had a choice to make. You know, we think that wickedness is great today. And God's looking down and we wonder, "Lord, just how long will you put up with it?" There was a great wickedness before. I was thinking of this in Genesis 6 and 5. God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And what did it do to God? It repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. The Lord said in the seventh verse, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. But then along comes the eighth verse. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so the Lord tells him there's a way for you to be able to save yourself. I'm going to bring a flood on the earth. But I'm going to give you some directions for building an ark. And how long did it take him? How long would it take us if we had Lowe's right next door to us with all the lumber we would ever need to build an ark? How long would it take to construct it? But instead, he didn't have a Lowe's right there. God gives him direction. I want it made out of this kind of wood. Make it from gopher wood. You know what? He's got a choice he's got to make. We have choices in our life today to make of what God will accept in the end. Many people will read the scripture that tells us, lets us know that sin will not be able to enter heaven. But then this human reasoning starts, and I believe it will be able to make it. Well, there was something about Noah that he took what God told him, and he believed it, and he acted on it. And he started building that ark out of gopher wood only. You know, just in my mind, I'm thinking of him living out in the country. When he started, there were probably lots of gopher trees. But now he's used them. How long did it take him to build it? Over 100 years. He's now used those that are close by. There's other trees. You know, why would an oak tree not work, or some of the other trees that might have been there? Why will it not work? Because God said, do it this way. You know, for us to be, what's that song that we sing? God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. It's only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never really know. And so Noah took God at his word. If he says, build it this way, I will build it this way. And then at the end of the sixth chapter, in the 22nd verse, he gives him all the directions for doing it. Noah believed God. That's what it's going to take for us today with so much unbelief in the world around us. Without faith, it's going to be impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Noah had an understanding that God was going to be a rewarder of those that seek after him. And I continue building this boat for over 100 years, and I finish it. And you know what it says about that? Choices don't just affect me. It affects those around me. Hebrews in the 11th chapter says that that was also to the saving of his house. The effort that he put in following the Lord, as close as I understand it to be, was also to the saving of his house. That is the same way that it can be for us. If I will follow the Lord closely, it can also be for the saving of my house. What a contrast between the two stories of Eve. She had direction. Hers was only just a small thing. You get to enjoy all of this garden, all of this food. Just stay away from this one plant here, this one tree. Don't eat of it. Noah had direction that was going to take him 100 years to be able to complete it. And he followed that day by day. What about us today? How long will we be here? You know, we sang the song, signs of the time are everywhere. There's a brand new feeling in the air. I remember when I was a boy or young, I heard that song. You know, I remember reading, you read in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, the end is very close. There'll be scoffers come saying, where is the sign of his coming? Since our fathers fell asleep, all things have continued as they were from the beginning of creation. And it still hasn't happened. Well, you know, for us also, it hasn't happened. But let us keep on making choices every day, like Noah did. Day after day, I'm working on a goal. What's my goal? The song that we sang a while ago, when I am called out of this life, I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. You know what? To do that, He's going to call on me to make some adjustments in my life sometime. And then He's going to give me a choice of what I do with it. I can say, you remember the one where it says, if I hear the word, but I'm not a doer of it, I'm like a man that saw himself in the glass and he went away and forgot what manner of man he was. It's going to be more than me just hearing it, but for me doing it also. There is another example in the Bible of a man that had choices that came into his life. And I am so thankful for the good examples that were left for us. And you know, if our story, if our life story were going to be recorded, you know, I think many of those people just live life day by day. Daniel, he didn't live that way because he said, you know what, my story is going to be in the Bible thousands of years from now. I'd like to do it right. His was just ordinary living. He had a God that he was wanting to please with his life. It's just that we get to read about it today. So what about the choices that I'm making day by day? If hundreds of years from now those choices were going to be recorded, you know, I'd kind of like for them to be right choices. I hardly think that Jonah expected his story to be in the Bible for us to read thousands of years later. How he could tell the Lord after he has been spared from the whale's belly, how he could tell the Lord, I am angry with you. I knew that you were this kind of a God, that you show mercy. You know, it was just a few days before that Jonah was pleading for that mercy. But Jonah had some choices that he was making in his life, and we get to read about that today. But I'm thinking of another man that had some choices. He also was not able to see the future. He lived day by day. I don't think he lived right because we're going to get to read about it thousands of years later. He had a God that he was wanting to please with his life, and that was Joseph. From a dream to a pit, to Potiphar's house, to a temptation, a choice that needs to be made. I'd like to look at that verse, Genesis in the 39th chapter. Because you know, there's times when we're making choices and no one is around. No one would ever know that cares. Genesis 39 and 9. Here's what Joseph is saying back about the temptation from Potiphar's wife. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? A choice presents itself, and Joseph is able to combat that temptation, realizing that God is everywhere. God is with me now, even though I can't see why. You know, from the dream that he had, and now he's been sold by his brothers. He's at Potiphar's house and things are going well, but now here comes a temptation. And from that, off to prison he goes. And yet he's able to rise above those things. Because there's a verse for us always to remember. It's Hebrews 12 and 15. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Joseph, my understanding of Joseph was that he was, from the time he was sold as a slave by his brothers to the time that he was appointed where he was 13 years of his life. And all those 13 years, you can either build yourself a list of resentments, or you can hand those things to God and make right choices. And he did that. You know, when he was put in prison, he could have saw the wrong of it, and I'm doing nothing to help anybody. But you know what he did? He conducted himself in a way that the jailer put him in charge. The jailer saw the benefit of having Joseph in there. You remember also Joseph had time to be able to devote to someone else. When Joseph had the two men that came in from Potiphar, from the Pharaoh, and they had dreams, you know, Joseph could have told them, I had a dream too, just keep yours to myself. Keep it to yourself. Don't tell me your dream. I don't want to hear another dream. But instead, what he says is, let me hear it. And he was able to tell those men, you know, that tells me that he cared about others at a time when he was making some choices in his life. And he chose not to allow a root of bitterness. There's another man that made a choice not to allow a root of bitterness. We read about him sometimes, but not very often. It's in Acts in the 7th chapter. Because you know what? Wrong is going to come into our life, and we're going to have choices that we make about what happens with that wrong. In the 7th chapter, and then this is going to be right at the end of the chapter, but Stephen has been called on to give witness, and he preaches a message throughout the 7th chapter. And when he finished that chapter, here's the response that came back from them. It says, 54th verse, when the people heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly, saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. They cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, double back the trouble back to them. You know, while the stones are coming, Stephen had choices that he could make in his life. He could have said, y'all can stone me today, but there's punishment coming for you for this. Is that what he said? It says he kneeled down in the 60th verse, and he cried with a loud voice. What would your thoughts be as the stones are coming? I've got just a little bit of life left in me. Here's what I'll say. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And that's a choice that was made.
Yes.
You know what? We're going to have choices that come into our life. Whether we allow bitterness to come, or whether we could come to the place that Stephen did and say, Lord, I would like for you to erase this sin for them. You know what he's really saying is, Lord, if you'd like, I'll meet them in heaven one day. I just release, I forgive. I ask you, Lord, don't lay this sin to their charge. Well, there was an example that's been given for us to follow. I was thinking of 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter. 1 Peter 2:19. It says, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. What glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently? But if when you do well and you suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. These are choices that he made. Who when he was reviled, he reviled not again. You know, that's a choice that he made. When he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. So what example did he leave for us? I'd like to look at it in Luke, the 23rd chapter. He also is just about to die. at the hands of other men. And in Luke 23 and 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. You know, that's a good thing to say when you're closing out your life. Lord, I forgive them. Father, would you forgive them? But then he says, for they know not what they do. They don't really understand the plan that I came to be able to give to mankind. You remember when Jesus looked out over Jerusalem, it said he wept. And he said, if you had only known the things that were for your peace, if you were only able to know what I was able to really give you. They made some choices. But you know what? As his life closed out, he made some choices also. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And I want to look at one more example before we close. Because you know what? We can be followers of Jesus, and we have choices that we also make. I'd like to look at the 9th chapter of Luke and the 51st verse. Jesus happens to stop in a town of the Samaritans. And 9 and 51. It came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. You remember the woman at the well? She's a woman of Samaria. And you remember as she's talking to him, she says this, our fathers worship in this mountain, but ye say that Jerusalem is the place to worship. Well, as I was reading the commentary about this, it wasn't just that, well, they expected he wanted to travel farther before he slept that night. No, it was when they found out that he's going on to Jerusalem to worship there, then they didn't accept him. And James and John, two followers of Christ, they look at that and they make a choice in their own mind. I'm so glad that they went to the Lord with that choice before they tried to act on it. It says, 54th verse, when his disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? You remember, Jesus left us an example that we should follow in his steps. What did Jesus say? Well, yep, it's about time to do some of that. Instead, it says in the 55th verse, he turned and he rebuked them. And he said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. The Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village. Just rather than cause any commotion, choices that Jesus was making and examples that he was leaving with his followers. You remember Paul had some choices that he was making in his life. If we read his list, how many times he was shipwrecked, how many times he was beaten, how many times he was stoned. You know, with each of those things, he had a choice to make. Do I continue on with this, or do I say, I've had enough of this following Jesus? Instead, what he said was, none of these things move me. The choice that he made, and you remember there in Romans, where it talks about, he's letting us know, you know what, there are some choices that we can make. In Romans, the 8th chapter, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know what, if we're separated from the love of Christ, it's because of a choice that we make. This one says, who is able to do it? But you know what, the final decision is ours when someone tries to separate us from Christ. Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword? Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And then he said, I am persuaded. He just made a choice in his life. How did Paul die? His head was cut off. But you know what? You remember he said, I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Did he say, I tell you what, I'm through with this. If there's any way I could get out of this, I would recant. No. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, because of right choices, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. And not for me only, but for all those who love his appearing. You know, each one of us are going to have choices that come into our life. And maybe, like with Joseph, he was not able to see. God didn't tell him, Joseph, I tell you what, be faithful for 13 years and you are going to be next to Pharaoh. He never knew that for all that time until he was called to the throne there. But for us, a lot of times we won't know either. But Lord, help us with the choices that we make, that we be able to do as Stephen did, we be able to do as Christ did. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And to be able to do what Joseph did, the time that is spent, I'm trusting the Lord. I'm still living for him. And I allow him to work in my life as he sees best. God, still today in 2021, he allows this world to make choices. And I believe it's because he values those that make choices for him. Since he values it that much that he's willing to let it continue, may I make choices that bring happiness to him. I want my Lord to be satisfied with me. I want my life to be what he'd have it be. And whenever I'm standing there before that great eternity, I'd like to hear him say, his smiles will say, he is satisfied with me. Desire the Lord to help us.